American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum Microphone.
They're never going to stop us here.
Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Live in the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum Microphone today, the day after the big Monster Cash show. This is GunBroker.com studios. This is the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. All of this is being presented to you by X Insurance, as was last night's show. And if you missed it, you missed a good one. It was a tough show to do. I'm not going to lie to you. It was tough after the election. It's been a drain on everybody. We're wanting to know what's happening. There's a lot of anxiety. We're trying to get answers from the people that we're talking to, and they know as much about everything as you and I do, maybe a little bit more plugged in, but still can't give you the solid answer. So it made interviews tough last night. Hour two, the top 30 minutes with Andrew Pollack, father of Meadow, murdered at Parkland. And I got to be honest with you, that's probably one of the toughest interviews I've ever done in my life, because I really wasn't sure how to approach it from the outset, because he's been through so much, and I was uncomfortable. I have a daughter, Meadow's age. Had she lived, she would be the same age as my daughter. Very difficult, but very powerful, and one that we need to hear. And God bless that man for fighting on behalf of my rights and your rights in the face of such terrible, tragic loss. Andrew Pollack is not going to be a stranger to this show. We're going to be hearing from him on a very regular basis from now on. He and I have been in communication since yesterday, so expect that. The roundtable, Sheriff Mack jumped in with the regular crew, and it was a tremendous amount of fun. If you missed the show yesterday, please make sure to go back and get it. And remember, all of it was brought to you by X Insurance last night in the Crossbreed Holster Studios on the Lead Slingers mic. One of my favorite people on earth. I got lots of favorite people on earth, don't I? We're going to jump right in. We're going to forego any monologue, because some of the best radio is the radio that you don't get to hear. Private conversations between myself, my wife, Paul Markle, the other day. Maybe we're going to try to bring some of that to the radio with you. I wanted to bring Paul in last night, but the schedule got a little jumbled up, so we gave him the time today. Paul Markle, student of the gun, the professor. How are you, brother?
Oh, just Jim Dandy. How are you?
Well, you know, we had long, really good conversation the other day. How is everybody? How is America? How is the country?
Well, you know what you said earlier. You said that people are feeling fatigued and they're worn out and so forth. That's exactly what the other side wants. They want you to be frustrated. They want you to become apathetic, and they want you to give up. You know, to take the easy way, because that's what they do. They always take the easy way, and they expect that you will just say, "Well, you know, if I just give up, if I just accept it, then I can move on with my life. You know, I can get it, you know, an endorphin dump or whatever. I just accept it, move on with my life." And that's how they keep getting away with what they do. Yeah. You know, you and I talked, I'm not sure how long ago it was, but right after the 2016 election, I wrote an article called "Voter Fraud: Who's Going to Pick Up the Turd?" Mm-hmm. And I laid it out in there, and I hate being Nostradamus. I really do. I hate being right all the daggum time.
I know the feeling.
I said at the time, I said, look, and I pointed out several examples of blatant, rampant voter fraud, and how we on our side, the people up on the moral high ground, how we just let it go.
Right.
Well, it's too late now. It already happened. So there's nothing that we can do about it now. And what we continuously do, and what we've told them, it's like if a 5-year-old kid throws a tantrum in the grocery store, and you tell him if he stops, you'll buy him a candy bar. So he stops and you buy him a candy bar. You just guaranteed that the next time you go to the store, there's going to be another tantrum.
Oh, sure.
What we've done is we've taught these people that they can do it. And as a matter of fact, they can do as much as they want, and we won't hold them accountable, because historically we never do.
All right, stop. Let me go. Let's go there. Let's go there. I've often stated on the show, I'm glad you said that, that we are and we have to take some responsibility for where we are, whether we're talking about just conservative values, whether we're talking about guns, whether we put it all, and then it all fits together. But Paul, I'll submit to you that when it began, 60s, really, moving north from there,
well, we continued the first major, nationally acknowledged voter fraud was the Kennedy elections when JFK's dad bought him the election in Chicago. That was probably in modern history. I'm sure that there's been a lot of fraud going on throughout our lives, but that was one of the first major ones where we saw it, and then it became a joke. You know, then it just became a punchline.
We enabled this type of activity, and I'm not talking specifically voter fraud. I'm talking about what precludes it, what allows that to come to the front and bubble to the top. And by that, I mean, as conservative Americans with conservative values, as gun owners, as lovers of freedom, as those who respect the Constitution and understand how it was written and how it's supposed to be interpreted, we never stopped the political left machine in this country when we had an opportunity. And a couple examples. We continued to pay tuition to these schools as they continued to indoctrinate our kids over the last several decades. We continued to buy albums whose lyrics we hated, whose values we despised, yet we continued to listen to the music. We continued to watch ABC and NBC so we could CBS when there was only three networks. That gave way to cable 24/7. We continued to watch it and we questioned it, but we never did anything about it until it was too late. And we continued to go see movies in Hollywood and make these people gobzillionaires because we just let it go. We thought it's just, oh, well, it's just the way it is. You know, we just have to deal with it. It's racy. It's just changing of the times. No, it's not. It was indoctrination from the left that we now know has been going on for the last 60 years. And we allowed it to fester to the point that it's at today. So we gave rise to what we're seeing today. And if you go no farther than the Stacey Abrams election here in Georgia, or attempted election a couple of years ago, she was 100,000 votes down, declared victory, and then said, but she was going to lose the election because of voter fraud when there were still polls were still, returns were still coming in. Okay. And this is exactly what they're doing today. And she guaranteed she would deliver Georgia. She did. And the machine has been the machine has been effectively working here in Georgia for the last 2 years. And look where we are today. Fulton County stops voting. The rest of the state can get it right. Even the other blue counties can get it right, but Fulton County never can. Why? Here we are in this mess today, and there are 10,000 plus votes. You know, who knows? And you got networks that weren't calling it. They were calling the ones they wanted to, like Virginia, with less than 1% with 10 minutes of polls closed for 10 minutes. Okay. You can see the writing on the wall. What I'm submitting to you is that we allowed a lot of this to happen. We have to take some responsibility for this, Paul. If we don't take responsibility for it, I don't think we're going to be able to fix it going further. Your thoughts?
Brother, I've been beating this drum for years. Like literally been beating this drum for years. And the fact of the matter is, you'd be like, well, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I'm like, we need to hold people responsible for their behavior. Actions need to have consequences. And when you allow yourself to be silenced, when you allow yourself to be muted by whether it's the media or the left, you know, a political correctness is cultural Marxism. Political correctness is censorship. It's silencing. And because we don't want to be seen as mean-spirited or whatever, we just shut up and let it happen. And it's time for us to stop shutting up and stop letting it happen. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, Mark, you and I, and I know we're coming up on a break, but and your wife, we had a question like, well, what are we going to do? And people are like, oh, well, we're going to get them. We're going to get them at the midterms. No, we're not.
No, we can't wait that long.
They've figured it out.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been working on this for years. They've been working on it since the Obama administration. I mean,
well, they've been working on it longer than that. Chuck Schumer's, 37, 40 years plus in here. Nasty Pelosi. These people have been doing, look, the Democrats have played dirty politics from day one. This is not the party of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, when the two parties, when the establishment went back and forth, and then Tip O'Neill and his wife twice a week would drink wine and eat steaks. True story. In the White House a couple times a week, where they did epic political battles during the day publicly on ABC, NBC, and then CBS. They were fine then, but it's not that day. But that party has been pushing to get to this point, which is why Barack Obama existed, which is why Hillary Clinton was, when she got stymied, it's why they went nuts, and it's how we got where we are today. They are not interested in playing nicey-nicey in the sandbox with us anymore, Paul. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Because I do have a suggestion that I think you'll find interesting, and I can't wait to get your take on it. But Donald Trump is at the forefront of it. We'll be back with Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this. Don't go away.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show, indeed. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom here in the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone, all of it being presented to you by X Insurance, which, by the way, is taking the field by storm. And I mean, I saw the numbers the other day, and you might want to consider participating. Firearms industry being taken by storm. X is everywhere. CCW insurance, if you need it and you want to go direct to the insurance company, which many of you are, I did, and want to bypass third-party stuff. Okay, they've a lot of the third-party companies have great products over there and all that stuff. But when it comes to insurance, I want the best of the best. And I've got AM Best, A-rated insurance written directly for me, with a policy none of them can touch. And I think that's why they're taking the industry by storm. But if you need concealed carry liability, if you need business, if you need gap coverage for your home, firearms that your homeowners doesn't cover, legal liability, civil, they can roll everything into one umbrella. Yep, policies up to $10 million, no exclusions. Wow. And it's written directly for you in your name, not somebody else's, where you're listed as a additional insured. I don't do that for the rest of my products. I don't want to do it for this either. That might keep me out of jail. Okay. So let's go back to Paul Markle. Paul, I'm going to submit to you that, and I'm seeing some comments in here coming in on the Facebook live stream about it too, that back a few years ago, we talk about Obama, people coming in, people talk about the country's in a bad place. Who's going to lead us out? It certainly isn't going to be Obama. Hillary loses. The left goes nuts. Because that was their globe. That was when globalism and socialism was supposed to take over, and Trump stood in their way. Divine intervention, no question. Rebalanced the courts, took the Supreme Court, and has made life difficult for them. And as long as the right thing happens in the state of Georgia, right here where I'm at, and on the 5th, on the runoff, and we, let's just say, we shut down their bid for the Senate, they can talk all they want. It's all going to have to be executive action, executive order. But in the meantime, looming out there will be Donald Trump, who is not going to stop giving his rallies. This guy's the worst nightmare. If he doesn't pull this out in court, and the courts will decide it, this guy is their worst nightmare because he isn't going away. And if crap really hits the fan, I can see Donald Trump leading the effort to put a stop to it from outside. What do you think?
Brother, I tell you what, I hope that it's sad that that man has to do it, that he has to be that guy. It's sad that we've come to a point in our nation. Like you said, you know, my grandparents and even my dad, they could not understand why things are currently happening. For instance, you know, Comrade Barry got elected for the second time, you know, they're like, well, you know, Republicans, Democrats, they all want what's best for the country at the end of the day. That, and you know, that's the 1940s, 1950s power sharing mentality that they grew up on. But that is not the situation that we're in. And the fact that somebody, you know, and somebody said to me before the election, well, many somebodies, but they were yakking about, oh, you know, third party. And I said, you missed the whole point. I said, Donald Trump is the third party candidate.
Yeah, thank you.
he's the only one smart enough to run with an R behind his name instead of an I, you know? And people are like, oh, Trump, man. And I said, all right, the fact is, when we have establishment Republicans like Romney and McCain and so forth before he passed, all, you know, going after Trump, he's not the status quo. He's something different. That's why they hate him. Because folks, and I know I haven't answered your question directly yet, I think that Donald Trump, right now, I just got an email saying that the voter, the Voter Fraud Defense Fund or the task force. He's organized.
And there's also an app. I'll give you the info for that. He's organizing.
And that's huge. America, listen up. That is enormous. Any other person with an R behind their name would have already conceded. A Romney, a McCain, a Bush, all of them would have conceded already.
Paul, they already did. They already did. He's already called Biden. Romney called Biden, was the first one to do it. These people conceded right off the bat. You know what Lindsey Graham said earlier today? Trump should consider running again in 2024. Now, look, I never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would ever give Lindsey Graham money for a campaign. But I did on a regular basis because we needed to keep that. Lindsey Graham has had an epiphany, and he understood what was at stake when John McCain passed away. He knew it. He figured it out. He had an epiphany of some sort. He knows what the Dems are up to. Now, you've got Lindsey Graham, who I would have considered absolute full stop establishment a year ago, 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right before the election. But God.
I've been shocked by things that are – because I've seen the reports that Lindsey Graham says blank, and I'm like, who's this Lindsey Graham? Because that's not the
– Where'd he come from?
The let's make concessions, let's work together, let's all just be on the same, team of a few years ago. And when I said, Bush and Romney and McCain, they would have, if it would have been anyone else running for president with an R behind their name, and we'd be in the exact same situation, they all would have capitulated. Every one of them.
That's evidenced by the fact that the ones that we're talking about that ran and were president already did. It's not like it's conjecture here. It's real. We know that this has happened. That's establishment crap. That, here you've got Bush, if you remember at Trump's inauguration, saying that was some weird satellite radio moment word. No, it wasn't. The man was elected president and this woman wasn't. And today's inauguration day, just like yours was, there's nothing weird about it. Except for the fact that the establishment didn't win the election. And it's such a great reminder to remind people that Trump was the third party candidate. Trump was the outsider and that he did. He had the cojones to run with an actual letter next to his name. So very, very telling stuff. But to go back to Trump as the leader from the outside now, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm not talking about calling troops to go to war. I'm talking about mustering the opposition in a way this country has never seen before. Because this is, you thought the Tea Party was big? That's child's play compared to what Trump's doing. He's traveling the country to rouse everybody up, and he's got 70 plus million people on his side that are going to play pool. And when that happens, this is what's going to keep Congress, and it's going to help keep the Democrats and socialism in check. And thank God he's there to do it. Divine intervention, call it what you want. But Paul, without Trump, we would have none of this.
Absolutely. I had somebody, we're all gun people. And, somebody said to me, they're like, where were you when Trump demanded a bump stock? And first of all, you weren't paying attention and you didn't listen. So that's where I was. But I'll tell you this, saying that I'm not going to vote for Trump and I'm going to vote for a third party candidate and throw it over to the Democrats. I'm because I'm mad about a bump stock. I'm going to
hold the thought. Hold the thought. When we come back from this break, I'm going to ask you a question that you're going to be able to answer in that vein. And you'll have fun with it. Paul Markle, student of the gun, coming right back. Don't go away. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Indeed. Let's see how fast I can maneuver over here. I'm running a little bit behind during the break. I had to run out and violate the rule of no food or drink in studio. So I had to grab me a little thing of, was that this Pellegrino water? I love that stuff. Do you like that stuff? I enjoy it. I'm not on their payroll or anything, but it's good. Let me give you a quick rundown, if we can, of all of our sponsors, because as you know, we are in the gunbroker.com studios. This is the Car Arms Platinum microphone. During the break, I got a text from CEO of Car Arms, Justin Moon, who just thanking for last night's show. It was a really good program. If you missed it, go get it. It literally came in as we were sitting on break. Sponsors, Lead Slingers Whiskey. Enter the zip code at leadslingerswhiskey.com and find out the distributor nearest you so that you can pick up all these great products. PulseTV.com/armed. And they got the World War II DVD set out there for $9.99. I have it. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. If you're a fan of that stuff, for $9, this is like a $200 package. Go check it out. It's at a Pulse TV. I'm a huge fan of that stuff. All of this, of course, is brought to us by X Insurance, and I see all the comments coming in. Superior product, guys. Make sure to check it out. That's why they're taking the firearms community by storm right now. Gunbroker.com, it is 100% free, and Gunbroker right now is so busy, it's insane. Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org. Last night, Alan reminded us of three lawsuits against three leftist states, New Jersey, New York City, and New York State for carry. We're going after them. Federal court, Supreme Court. Me thinks we're going to get a case taken now that we know John Roberts is no longer the swing guy. You know what I'm saying? So make sure to support the Second Amendment Foundation. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the rest of them when we come back after the next break. Paul Markle, student of the gun. All right, where was I? I told you I was going to set you up for something for an answer. Remind me, because I got out of the studio and lost my track of where I was at.
No, essentially, I said that, you know, just not throwing the country over to the socialists because you're mad about the bump stocks makes about as much sense as burning your house down because your toilet overflowed and you're angry about it.
All right, so let me ask you this question then and take it in this direction. What do you say, because you eloquently said this, articulated this so well, Trump was the third party. Trump is the third party. So listener, viewer, on that basic premise, here's Paul's response. Let's get ready to hear this. Because he is third party, what do you say to people who were claiming in this election to vote third party, considering Trump already is, when you think about it in those terms, and Trump's not really a pro-gun guy, and I'm a FUD. I like my certain guns, but I don't like Trump, and I'm suffering from TDS, and my emotions are getting the best of me like a liberal, and I can't stand Orange Man bad. So just this time, I'm going to vote for what is the single worst anti-gun ticket ever run in American history that is now steps away from the White House, and you help put him there. What do you say to that FUD?
Well, there's nothing to say to them, quite frankly. We're in a position right now, Mark, where we've got people. And I believe that there's a lot of factors that have taken place. But we have people incapable of intellectual honesty. We have people incapable of formulating an intellectual thought that's not based on emotion. And, you know, I hate to say this. But there's some people that you just can't reach, and as try as we may, but someone who is willing, I mean, that person is not trustworthy. Someone who's willing to, I'm just going to burn the country down because I didn't get my way, or I'm going to burn the country down because the New York Times or ABC or whatever told me not to like this man. I mean, this Trump derangement syndrome is the most manufactured, concocted, and it just goes to show the sad state of affairs that we're in as a nation, where we have people that will literally run out in the streets. And this isn't like hypothetically, we've seen it, like stand in the middle of a street screaming.
Yeah,
because they've been so ginned up by the media. They've been ginned up by whatever they saw on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. The same people that if you were to like strap them into a chair and make them honestly answer you, say, what did you think about Donald Trump in 2015? Were you aware of him? Were you aware that he existed? Well, yeah, of course. I knew about it, and I knew saw him on TV. So did you hate him then? Well, no, I didn't know I was supposed to hate him then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really in a situation. We're in a scary situation in America.
Do you know, Paul? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, where people can be so easily manipulated.
Well, social media is doing tremendous damage to the psyche of the nation. It's doing tremendous damage to the psyche of gun owners who live in that cyber fake world that have convinced themselves that Orange Man bad. I mean, it's that simple. Forget what he did with the economy. Forget what he did with inclusion into the Republican Party. Forget what he did burying socialism. Forget what he did to the judiciary and rebalancing the courts. Forget what he did to the Supreme Court. Forget what he did to all of that. Orange Man bad. Orange Man bad. And I survived 8 years of Obama and he didn't get my guns. I'll survive 4 years of Biden and they're not going to get my guns. That's pipe dreaming. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could go down so many roads with you here. I wish we had another hour. I could easily use another hour to an hour and a half with you. But I guess we're at a point now in this conversation that it just is what it is. They did what they did. You're not going to be able to reach them because Trump derangement syndrome is, in fact, real. They right. don't care what you say. You can't. There's no fact that you can give them. They're convinced.
Yeah, there's no fact.
They're convinced that it's Obama did it. You know?
Them.
Yeah.
And well, Mark, and this is, see, that's where you have to be an adult. That's, you know, it go back to the childish temper tantrum, right? You cannot reason with a child that's throwing a tantrum. And if you try and reason with them, you lose. Have you ever seen these imbecile parents in public, you know, when their child is, you know, throwing stuff or screaming or kicking or whatever, and they're like, now, Billy, use your indoor voice. Now, we shouldn't behave like that. That is us. That is the conservative or Republican or pro-gun. That's us dealing with the other side. We're trying to, now, come on now. Don't turn our country into a socialist nightmare. You know, don't destroy the economy to the tune of billions of dollars. Don't lie and commit fraud to steal the election. Come on, that's not nice. And well, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
Paul, you have Newt Gingrich that was talking about what you're talking about. When he said it is unbelievable and incomprehensible to him that you have people that will throw their Constitution away, that will throw the values that they've grown up with, that will throw their Second Amendment away, that will put the country in a position to literally have to fend off a socialist attack from within because they don't like Donald Trump's personality, no matter what he did. And I'm going to submit to you that the people that you're referring to now and the people that I'm referring to now cannot ever be reached. I do not believe those people are fixable. So we need to move beyond them. And I think that's what Trump is getting ready to do with these rallies. You're going to see rallies from Donald Trump, I believe, throughout a Biden presidency if he makes it to the White House. It's going to be the biggest thorn in Biden's side, right? You got 30 seconds.
Well, there's so many things to say. Number one, Biden won't make it past 6 months.
True.
That he won't make it past 6 months. When we come back, let's talk about percentages.
All right, let's do that.
Let's talk about the minority and the strength of the minority.
Let's do that. We're talking with Paul Markle, student of the gun. Studentofthegun.com. Let's get that out right now, too, because I didn't even give him the website. Studentofthegun.com. Paul Markle, he's the real deal. If you're watching on Facebook, you can see the photograph behind me. And by the way, Paul, as you know, because you were talking with my wife, who was genuinely upset about all of this, you and I may be neighbors in the near future, right? You never
Hey, it's up to
know.
It's up to you, not me.
Talking to Paul Markle, student of the gun. One more segment with him. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The
following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show, indeed. If you're watching on the live stream, which, by the way, you can do every day at 4.06 p.m. Eastern, 1.06 p.m. Pacific, if you don't want to wait to listen to the show on one of your stations or if you don't get it live, either way, Facebook.com/Armed American Radio. You can watch me. I'm drinking a Defender coffee right now out of a Defender coffee mug. Hold on, because it's really good. It's great coffee. My wife and I go through it like crazy. Nonetheless, DefenderCoffee.com. The promo code is AAR. 15% off everything on the site. Unless you want to do the coffee club like I do, then I think I get three bags and I don't pay shipping. I chose to do that instead of the 15 off. But you can take your pick. Doesn't matter. DefenderCoffee.com. North American Arms. The minis. I've been showing you the minis. This is it. That's my Sidewinder. I've got seven different minis, but this is my Sidewinder. This one goes with me every day. That's why it's here right now. And, of course, frontsight.com, frontsight.com. Check them out, frontsight.com/Mark. All right, let's go back to Paul Markle, student of the gun. Let's talk some percentages, Paul. Let's get into it.
All right, so the whole threeper or three percenter or three, you guys, everybody knows where that came from. You know, it's the, whether it's historical fact or accepted legend or whatever, but that during the American Revolution, a grand total of 3% of the entire population actually picked up a rifle and fought, actually engaged in combat. And so I was talking last night to a friend of mine, and, you know, we talk about how people always venerate past historical figures, or they talk about the Norwegian resistance or the Dutch resistance or the French resistance during World War II. And a friend of mine, he said, you know, historically, it's considered that the French resistance never had more than 1,500 active members at any one time. That's infinitesimal. That's tiny. But look at what they were able to accomplish. And we talked about the Norwegian resistance and how they tanked the Nazi heavy water program, which they were using to try and develop a nuclear bomb. If those guys wouldn't have taken the steps and gone forward and done that, can you imagine how our world would be different if Adolf Hitler would have developed a nuclear bomb before we did?
Oh, yeah. Listen, we'd be living on a completely different planet. We'd be speaking a different language. We wouldn't know the lifestyle that we live today. And we have a political enemy within in the United States that is actively pursuing socialism and globalism in this country to wipe out our way of to wipe out our capitalistic way of life, that believe that America is a bad place, that it's an evil place, that it was founded as a you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, the whole colonization deal. It's not. Yeah. It never was. America didn't bring slavery here. America stopped slavery. Slavery had been going on for thousands of years around the world. It was abhorrent. And it was America that ended the practice. It was a Republican president and a Republican Congress that ended the practice. Do I have to go back and give you the Kansas speech again, the crimes against Kansas, when it was the Republicans that were fighting to bring Kansas into the state, into the Union, as a free state, not a slave state? And it led to the caning of Senator Sumner, which 6 years later, you look back in history, because history, look back in the rearview mirror, Paul, is always high definition 4K vision.
Yeah.
And all of this led to the Civil War and 675,000 American casualties, brother against brother, literally. So, you know, this country's in a bad place. I don't know, 10 years ago, I would have told you, you know, we'll get through it. We'll get out of it. I don't know where we're at today. Well,
Reason I brought up that 3% thing is, I mean, think about that. And I back that up with the, you know, the French resistance and Norwegian and so forth. The fact of the matter is, small groups of people who are passionate and committed have made changes in our world. Look, everybody should know, if you studied history, that the American Revolution was on the brink of defeat in December of 1776. Most of Washington's army was set to muster out. They only had 1 year enlistment. They were trying to get them to reenlist, but they'd been losing. They'd been fighting strategic retreats basically all down the coast. And Washington understood that. People were getting, you know, they were getting frustrated. They were getting apathetic. He needed a win. And at that time, he had it was only a few thousand men total left in the Continental Army. But they decided on Christmas night to cross the Potomac and take Trenton and take Princeton, and they gave the country the victory that it needed. They gave people hope, and it was only a few thousand Americans, a few thousand men, which is, I mean, we have 330 million people in this country today. We have something like 17.4 million living veterans in this country today. We don't need all of them. We don't need to convince everyone. And if your neighbors won't be convinced, then fornicate them. What you need to do is you need to decide that you will not be apathetic. You will not surrender. You will not give up. You know the difference between right and wrong. And you will be a leader in your community. You'll be that cul-de-sac leader. And that's what we need in this country right now. We need genuine leadership.
You need genuine leadership. And I believe right now, when if you went back 3 or 4 years or back to the Obama years, this program's been on the air through all of Obama's presidency, 4 years of Donald Trump, and we will outlive other presidents. So long as God gives me breath in my lungs, we will be here. But we would sit, we would wonder who and where is that leadership going to come from when we're not getting it, when you've got 70 million people, half the voting public, that is never going to live under socialism. Because let me tell you, listeners, I pledged you. I mentioned that last night. You know, I didn't get to that. Let me get to that tomorrow. But I have a pledge for you. And I know you feel the same way, but I want you to hear it from me as the host of this show, what I pledge to you. But I often wondered, Paul, where's the leadership of that going to come from? Certainly it's not going to come from a president who capitulates, past president, like a George Bush, or a wannabe president like Mitt Romney, that concedes before the voting's even done, you know, that spend more time reading Bill Kristol than they did finding out what Donald Trump was doing while he was president, this type of thing. But I believe that Donald Trump is that leader. I truly believe you're going to see this go on over the next 4 years, where you're going to see Trump and millions of people rally over time. It just is going to be a huge thorn in the side. I can see that happening. I really, truly can see that happening. Do you think I'm nuts, or do you believe that too?
Well, no. Well, it's great to have a figurehead, but Donald Trump can't lead you, you know, in your neighborhood. What we've got to have, what this country is desperate for, I believe, and it hasn't for a long time. And the reason that we experience so much apathy is because people don't have, they don't see the example. They don't have a local community leader. Everyone's so worried about, you know, political correctness or cultural Marxism, and they're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to take a stand. You know, well, if I do that, then people won't like me, or oh, my Facebook account will get canceled or whatever. Is your country not worth it?
Well, that's where I think that you're going to see Trump emerge as that figurehead. I think you're going to see that happen. I think it's going to put the original Tea Party movement to shame. We'll see. We'll find out what happens. The fat lady has not yet sung. So, Paul Markle, student of the gun, God bless you. Thank you for being here, my friend. We'll talk to you probably early next week is to get you back in here to keep the conversation up, because the days are rolling by quick. Lots of stuff is unfolding in real time. That's Paul Markle, student of the gun. I'm going to get up and do it all again tomorrow for you because I can. They don't want me to. Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you on the radio.
Just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.